Support for WSIU's In the Author's Voice is provided in part by listeners like you. To make your donation, log on to WSIU.org or call 800-745-9748. Thank you.
Well, my style is definitely extremely irreverent and possibly a little profane at times, but for the most part, I think it's rather sweet, which I think you really kind of have to get into about 2 to 3 chapters before you start to see the sweetness and the niceness kind of come out, and you start to realize that the book is sort of a love letter rather than anything else. I started writing the book about 11 years ago, and it's interesting because a lot of people are under the assumption that it was a blog to book, but actually it was a book to blog to book, because what happened was I started the book because I wanted to record all of these moments in life that I wanted to pretend never happened that in the end made me who I am, and I had a really hard time with it, trying to find my voice and trying to force myself to kind of write every day. And I was reading this parenting blog on the Houston Chronicle, and someone, one of the writers basically said, I don't think that you can be a blogger and a good mother at the same time, so I quit. And I emailed the editor and said, well, apparently I'm a terrible mother because I'll do it. I'll do it for free. And it was some combination of I'll do it and for free that made him say, okay, no problem. So I started working, writing a blog. What was nice is that I was able to find my voice and find an audience, but at the same time I knew all of the best stories I wanted to save for my book. So I didn't have to worry so much about putting out a book that ended up just being a compilation of blog posts, because most of the stuff is new and they were all my favorite stories.
If I could characterize it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, your blog really deals a lot with your day-to-day life, and as I understand the book, which I haven't quite finished yet, a lot of it is, you know, this is what made me who I am. This is looking back at childhood and as I became this grown-up person. Is that a good characterization?
Yeah, I think so. When I wrote the book, it starts with all of these mortifying stories of growing up. And I think everyone has mortifying stories of growing up, but probably they don't have to do with, you know, hand puppets made out of roadkill or getting your arm stuck up a cow's vagina or, you know, those sort of stories. But what was interesting is growing up, those were all of the things that I wanted to pretend had never happened. And then as I got older, I realized that those were the stories that I would tell over and over again because those were the best moments. And those were the times that made me who I am. And it was interesting because it was right about the time that I realized that I had my own daughter, and I realized that what I was giving her, which was this very normal sort of life in the suburbs with dance classes and, you know, twirling lessons and that was, I felt like I was sort of cheating her out of these terrible things that had happened to me as a kid that weren't going to get to happen to her. And so we decided to move out to the country so that she could have her own set of horrific memories that she would hopefully later say, oh, I'm so glad that happened because it made me who I am.
One of the things that draws people to your website, to your blog, to your Twitter feed is the way that you tell your stories in such a way that I think it's a way that people wish that they could say these things about their own lives. Do you have some pushback in the way that you tell things?
Very seldom, but it does happen. A lot of times, if I get criticisms, typically it's from people who are very new to, say, the blog. They'll read a post and they will make a judgment call based on that one post. One example of one of the posts that went the most viral was the Beyonce the Giant Metal Chicken post, which was about my husband telling me that I was not allowed to buy towels because he was tired of me buying towels. And so I go to the store and I instead buy a 5-foot giant metal chicken because at least it's not towels. And I put it at the front door and ring the doorbell. And we ended up having a fight about it. But it was really funny, I thought. And the majority of the world thought it was funny. But it was interesting how much feedback I had, especially from men who had found the blog for the first time ever, who basically said, I can't believe you would spend your husband's money like that. Get a real job, and then you'll understand. And I was like, I have a job. I have my own money. Having a vagina doesn't preclude me from having money. I don't, okay, well, whatever. But I do sometimes get pushback, but typically it's from people who just don't know the full story and don't know the background. I do sometimes, my grandmother would prefer it if I used the F word a little less. And I'm sure probably some other people would too, but I have to be true to my own voice, and that is my authentic voice.
When you talk about that authenticity as well, you shared in the not-so-distant past your battles with anxiety, with depression, and you continue to do that. I think that's a touchstone for a lot of people. Did you have trouble sharing it, and then what was the reaction once you did?
When I first decided to share that I was having anxiety issues. I have depression, OCD, a variety of different, just a whole grab bag of mental illness. When I first decided to share it, I kind of felt like I had no choice, simply because I was writing so much about my life, and to not share something that was so integral to my personality felt like I was creating a false history. And so it felt like it was something that I was going to have to do one way or the other. I was afraid that it would cause a lot of people to leave, especially because my blog is one that's, it's funny, it's lighthearted, it's there to make people laugh. And so writing about anxiety disorder or self-harm or things like that, that's definitely not what people came for. But what I was so shocked to see is that not only the incredible support that I got from the community, but that there were thousands and thousands of people who left amazing comments saying, I thought I was the only one, and you know, I thought I was alone, and if you can do it, if you can go out and get help, then maybe I can go get help. Maybe I can, you know, get fixed as well. And what was really amazing that came out of that is I had tons of letters that came in from people who were considering suicide and who read not just the post, but they read the comments after the post of all of these thousands of people saying, me too, me too, me too. And when they read that, they realized that they were completely not alone, that actually it's really almost just the opposite, where you have to search pretty hard to find someone who hasn't at one time had to deal with some sort of mental illness. And that was what made them think that maybe depression does lie to you, and maybe they aren't alone, and that maybe they are worthy of going out and trying to get help and to get on the medication or on the therapies that they need.
It's certainly something that allows people to connect through you. That's got to be very gratifying.
It is. It is. I actually keep a folder of things that just, of emails that come in from people who are, you know, saying thank you, and that's actually labeled free booze because it makes me happy to think of free booze, and that's where I put all of those letters, and I always think, like, even if I never get paid for anything that I ever write, knowing that I made a difference in somebody's life is, that's sort of payment enough.
I wanted to end on a somewhat lighter note for people who follow your blog. I'm sure there are many who are saying congratulations on now having Ron Weasley as a part of the collection.
Yeah.
And I posted on my Facebook page that I'd be interviewing you, and I had a couple of people ask how Copernicus is doing.
Copernicus is doing really well. Copernicus, the homicidal monkey, was a terrible, horrifying monkey that I picked up, a stuffed monkey that I picked up. Whose slogan is a hug is a strangle, you just haven't finished yet. And Copernicus has been traveling with me on tour, and it's amazing how many people will see him on the desk when I'm doing signings and will just look at him and reach out their hand to almost touch him and then just pull their hand back. So he's getting a little bit of attention, but not as many hugs as you might expect.